From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, those open lines followed by the Watchers with William Henry. And in a moment, we will talk about demons and exorcisms. But here's what's happening. Cyber attackers stole data from 29 million Facebook accounts using an automated program that moved from one friend to the next, as the social media company said its largest ever data theft hit fewer than 50 million profiles that it initially reported. Oh, wow, only 29 million people got hacked. The global internet outage over the next 48 hours could affect some users. What the heck is all this about? Let's check in with Lauren Weinstein, our expert on the internet. What is this, Lauren?
Yeah, the outage story actually is now old news. It turns out that the DNS root zone key signing key, the KSK, was updated for the first time since the DNS security system was implemented in 2010.
Jeez. Now, what is all that?
Well, we've talked about the DNS. It's the system that's used to map names, like coasttocoastam.com, for example, to the internet IP addresses, which aren't necessarily always the same. So this is it's a complicated hierarchical system that works its way down or up, depending on how you look at it, to a root zone where the core information is from which everything else flows forth. Since 2010, that has been protected by a cryptographic system with a key that's been the same since 2010. So they decided it was finally time to change that key.
Was there a danger we could have gone down today?
Well, in fact, the changeover had been delayed for I think about a year, because there were concerns. The thing about this is that the security system has not been widely deployed to end users. It's mostly the big ISPs and big corporations and things like that. It's gradually spreading more. So there were concerns that not everybody, especially not all the ISPs, would necessarily have made the right preparations for this, and there could be disruptions. But it was very carefully planned out. In practice, what happened is they did the rollover yesterday afternoon, I guess. And there were, I guess, a few little glitches here and there, but they were ready for that. They fixed them. And as everybody can tell, the internet is still humming away.
Super. Thanks, Lauren. Have a good weekend. Stocks rebounded somewhat today after the horrendous last six periods here, up about 287 points. Sears Holding Corporation planning to close up to 150 of its department and discount stores and keep at least another 300 open as part of a plan to restructure under apparent U.S. bankruptcy protection. People familiar with the matter say that the iconic Sears brand really getting clobbered. 40% of the American middle class, they say, face poverty in retirement, according to a study. That's not good news either. Let's check in with businessman and marketeer Charles Coppice. Charles, that's not good news that only 40% of the Americans are ready for retirement.
No, and it's really very, very bad demographically for the baby boomers, which I am and you are. And, it's just not very prepared. Sears, you know, collapsing has been a long time coming.
Yeah,
let's face it. And the markets, George. I mean, October is a spooky month, right?
It sure is. It always gets hit in October, doesn't it?
Yeah, October. And you know, we had big drops in February, 1,000 points for a couple of days, about 1,400 points this week. But they're raising rates into weakness. This is really what's coming to bear right now. This is the longest bull market in history. We exceeded that in August. Late August, the S&P, and 3,500 days without a 20% decline. This is a real bubble economy, created by the central bank. Stocks are wildly overvalued, while gold and silver is extremely undervalued, mm-hmm. which is the nature of my business. So we're just waiting on the sidelines here, but the P.E. ratios right now are like 1929 levels. And what's driving this, George, is stock buybacks. To drive the market. They're buying their stocks back. Apple just hit $1 trillion. Amazon followed a week later. Well, that's because of stock buybacks. That's not because of robust, activity out there and so on. Anyway, so that's what's really the danger facing us perhaps Monday going in the next week could be the margin debt, which is four times larger than anything in history. when margin calls come in, they either have to raise the cash or sell stocks, and that just, you know, just accelerates the whole decline.
You got it. Charles, thank you. Love your input. Listen to this story. A South Carolina man and a cancer survivor claims that he was asked to leave a convenience store because of his disfigured face. Kirby Evans underwent surgery 7 years ago to remove what was called the basal cell carcinoma, a type of skin cancer. He lost both his nose and his left eye as a result of all this. Well, apparently, the 65-year-old said he had visited a store in Walterboro to buy a snack and a drink. When he sat down at the table in the store to eat, the manager apparently grabbed him by the shirt, pulled him into her office. Unbelievable. His daughter shared the story on Facebook. They've been had hits like crazy all day. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Maryland have created eyeball parts from stem cells in the hopes of better understanding how and why we develop the ability to see in red, blue, and green. A study published in Science magazine on October 12th. Well, it's time to check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. What's going on in the skies, Peter?
Well, it's been an exciting week again, George. But before I get into the reports, I'd like to just comment that sometime this month marks the 44th birthday of the National UFO Reporting Center.
Oh, super.
In October of 1974 by its founder, Robert J. Gribble. I didn't found it, but he founded it and did a wonderful job of running it for 20 years before I took over the reins. And on the subject of birthdays and anniversaries, I'd just like to comment on the fact that last night marks the 526th anniversary of a sighting of very peculiar lights by Christopher Columbus and the crews of the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria over Tenerife, no doubt a small settlement in Las Palmas back in 1492. And by the way, thank you very much for mentioning the launch of Falcon 9 Sunday night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
the hotline lit up brighter than the rocket, I think. And we took about 50 reports in rapid sequence, about 25 written reports. And you're mentioning that it was a rocket launch saved us a great deal of time and trouble. First case I'd like to talk about comes from the 4th of October, last Thursday night. Thursday night, 8 days ago, that is, a father and daughter professional driving team were driving a tandem rig from California to Texas in southeast Arizona. Suddenly, the daughter exclaimed, she was driving, the father was in the bunk getting some rest. She exclaimed very loudly for her father to get up into the cab immediately. He didn't know what was going on, so he jumped up. His daughter described a very peculiar event. She had seen what she thought was a meteor going from north to south in front of her truck as she drove to the east. And about 2 minutes later, looking in approximately the same direction, she saw a disc-shaped object. She described it as being peridot or peridot green. I had no idea what peridot is, but it's somewhere between yellow and green, descend vertically. And here is where it gets really exciting, George. The daughter, according to the father's account, and this is posted to our website, had an almost insatiable desire to steer her truck across the center line and go directly towards the disc-shaped object. Very interesting report. Next report comes from the next night, October 5th, from Churchill, Tennessee. A young woman describes how she and her boyfriend were having dinner. The lights went out, the power failed, and they were witness to a very complex display of unidentified lights above the clouds in that city, Churchill. Very complex description. I recommend anybody who's interested in sightings from Tennessee access that report, which is posted. Third report comes from Haines City, Florida. Gentleman saw a large orange light flying fast and horizontally in front of him, again from north to south as he was driving east on the Interstate 4 towards Orlando. And the last report comes from Cape Coral, Florida. A gentleman reports seeing a very peculiar disc-shaped object embedded in a cloud or a sort of a miasma of blue-green light streaking horizontally in front of his car at 2:55 a.m. That's this morning, October 12th. And last two reports, very briefly, something happened over Chula Vista and San Diego tonight. People, multiple reports of three orange lights descending and twirling in the night sky. If anybody knows what they are, please send us a report.
All right, Peter, and I'll see you in March in Everett, Washington.
I'm looking forward to it, George, and looking forward to doing a report that doesn't have a stopwatch sitting in front of me.
You got it. You're the best. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Up next, we're going to talk about demonic spirits. Jeffrey Seelman back with us on Coast to Coast, and that's next. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and what an amazing couple hours we've got for you here. Jeffrey Seelman back with us, internationally recognized professional psychic, exorcist, teacher, specializes in the clearing of individuals, homes, businesses, and psychic protection. Jeffrey is also an expert on hauntings in homes and businesses, psychic ability, good ghosts such as spirit guides as well. And tonight we're going to talk about demonic spirits. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Thanks, George, for having me back on your show for the fifth time. And a big hello to everybody around our beautiful planet.
Super. You know, this is a great time of year. Halloween just brings out a lot of things with people, but it seems to also bring out ghosts and spirits and strange things, doesn't it? Do you feel that way?
I think that individuals and the media pay a lot more attention to it. Certainly, at the time we think about all things supernatural, good and evil. Also, in tradition, it's harvest time. And in the tradition of that, there's a veil of energy that seems to be thinner this time of year. I found that to be somewhat true, but these things that I deal with happen all the time. And but the media pays more attention to it this time of year, and that's fine. Anytime we talk about it and get a chance to inform the public on what is really happening around our world and also on the other side, I think is really important.
Jeffrey, do you think demonic spirits, and we'll get into what you think they are, but do you think they affect people to the point where strange things are happening like now? I mean, I feel people are tense, uptight, and, you know, kind of angry about certain things. Do you think demonic spirits have something to do with that?
Definitely. We are certainly going through a lot of changes right now on the planet Earth, and this is a huge target for demonic spirits and also negative spirits. And I'll get into the difference between those two as we go along. But absolutely, targets on the back of people that have power and can change the world for good or for ill. And I think that there's never been a time in our history where demons have a greater opportunity to strike at the common person and also people who are very influential. And so they're around more than ever.
I think so, too. So let's get your take, Jeffrey, on what is a demonic spirit, in your opinion.
A demonic spirit is a very, very powerful spirit. It could be said that they're the counterpart of angels. They're that powerful. They're not regular people who have died, just have a bad attitude and do negative things. They've been around for a long time. They're very evolved and may have not ever lived in the physical realm or not have lived in the physical realm for a long time. They're very powerful. And they're known to be able to affect physical reality. and also the minds of individuals very easily. And we're not looking out for it. You know, we don't protect ourselves properly, and we're taught that it's something from Hollywood movies, and it only happens to a few people. It's not going to happen to me. But that's not true, because I get calls every day from people that are under the attack of demonic spirits, negative spirits. And demonic spirits are able to reach in to the physical realm from the non-physical realm and actually produce physical effects. And that is one difference between a demonic spirit and a negative spirit. Also, demonic spirits are much better equipped to influence people on a psychological, emotional level, meaning that they can stand right next to us and we can't see them, and telepathically transfer information into our system, our emotional systems, make us angry at each other, at other people, at ourselves, get us to do things we would not normally do. And we can't see them. We don't know that they're there.
See, that's what I think is happening now. Now, are they the biblical version of fallen angels?
They can be. Certainly that many demonic spirits once were good, and there's such a thing as ego. I once said on your show that ego is the killer of the exorcist.
Yep.
And it's also true of spirits. It's also true that demonic spirits can change. You know, once they were, you know, positive spirits and their ego got to them, and now that they're doing very, very negative things. And the real danger that I see is that we're more susceptible than ever before to attack. So many arguments, you know, between people today, and they take advantage of that. And spirits, and all spirits, do not have voice boxes. They communicate, George, telepathically. And we all communicate telepathically. It's kind of like a river that travels mm-hmm. underneath our consciousness. And they communicate on that level. And they whisper to us, maybe at night, maybe in the day, maybe when people are intoxicated, when people step out, something steps in. That's also very common. And they try to get us to do things that we would not normally do. Violent things, hurt our significant others, wives, husbands, people. Not all violent acts are due to or caused by demonic spirits, but they certainly are around, and they are around more than ever. And so are negative spirits, people who are dead, and they were doing negative things when they were alive and continue to do negative things. But demonic spirits are very powerful. And as an exorcist, when I'm dealing with demonic spirits, I have to be very careful because many of them are more powerful than me.
That's right. That's you. They could come and get you.
Oh, absolutely. They do. And the thing is that they come when I least expect it. When I'm working, I'm really looking for it. When I'm helping people deal with negative things in their homes, negative feelings, negative energies, I'm looking for it. It's when I'm not looking for it that the attacks on me occur. It doesn't happen very often. I've been doing this work 27 years now, but it does happen. And so I've been attacked successfully a few times for short durations, and it's very unpleasant, and it happens very quickly. Demonic spirits are able to assume any shape or form at a moment's notice.
Can you see them?
I can.
You can.
I was born with the ability to see spirits. I thought everybody could. It was shocking to me, George, when I was young in elementary school, in grade school. I thought I saw spirits in the classroom. Some were standing over students and essentially trying to help them with their homework and help them with their schoolwork. And some were looking at me like, how can you see me? What are you doing? I don't like this. And these are the ones I had to watch out for. And they'd actually come and started walking towards me in the classroom, and I was very uncomfortable.
All right, stay with us, Jeffrey. We're going to hit a break, and we're going to come back and talk more about these demonic spirits. Where do they come from? What do they want? And then next hour, we'll take phone calls all about this. Jeffrey Seelman with us as we talk about demons and exorcisms. So stick with us. We'll take calls with Jeffrey next hour. And so many things happening at the website, coasttocoastam.com. I hope you go to it quite regularly. Our editor, Tim Bunnell, comes up with some amazing stories. How do you find all those stories, Tim?
Just endless searching, George. Endless searching and swimming in the paranormal news. Lake, if you will.
Are there many you have to say, well, I don't want that one, but I love this one?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. I've got quite a list of cast-off stories at the end of the week that, just kind of wind up where I look at them and I'm like, that didn't really pan out, that one.
What are some of your favorites for this week, Tim?
This week, we got a really fun story up on the website. It's in the number 2 spot of the carousel. It's about an 8-year-old girl in Sweden who was skipping rocks and stones and sticks across the lake and reached down to grab another stick and pulled out a 3-foot-long sword out of the mud.
Jeez.
Yeah. And you can see it in the number 2 spot in the carousel, as I said. It's huge. And it turns out they called the local museum. They examined it. And the sword is at least 1,000 years old, and it may predate the Viking Age.
My gosh. Maybe it's one of the swords from Arthur. Who knows, huh?
Yeah, so they're joking that she's the new queen of Sweden, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
And the other great story we got on the website, I know you're going to like this one a lot. I think you're familiar, I'm sure you are, with the Cottingley Fairy photo.
I love that photo. It's one of my favorites. When I was a kid, I saw it. And I was amazed by it. They look like little cutouts, but you're just not quite sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And amazingly, I'm not sure how they passed down, how it got passed down through the years, because these are from the 1910s. But they went up for auction last week in England, 2 of them. And amazingly, these photos, they thought they were going to go for about $900 to $1,300 each. They ended up going for 10 times that amount.
Wow.
And, the one on the website that folks can see, the number 1 slot, went for a jaw-dropping $20,000.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Really just remarkable. I guess if you want to own a piece of paranormal history, it's going to cost you a little bit.
That's the way to do it. Tim, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, George.
Tim Bunnell, our editor at coasttocoastam.com. He works with Sean and Lex and so many other great staff members. Jeffrey Seelman with us as we talk about demons. We'll take calls next hour as well before we get into open lines. Jeffrey, what do you think their end game is? What do they want, these demons?
The destruction of the human race.
That's all?
Demons hate humans. They want nothing from us. So many people have come to me over the years and said, I can control spirits. I can control demons. But it's not true. They have nothing that we want. And so they attack children in their cribs. They attack people at work. They attack everybody. We all have targets on our back, and we need to realize that. We can't see them, but they can see us. They generate negative emotional energies. They generate hatred, and they're all around. And they're using this time of uncertainty in our world today in order to amplify our negative feelings towards each other. And it's very important to understand what they're trying to do. They don't want us to know that they're there. They want us to think that it's a Hollywood myth or something like that. And Hollywood makes great movies, no problem with that. But the reality is that they are around us. Spirits are around us all the time. We just can't see them. And they communicate with us telepathically. Their end game is to destroy us, to destroy the fabric of the family, to destroy businesses. The reason being is that that's how we make our money. Destroy a business and you destroy a person's ability to make money, destroy their family, destroy their lives. And also to change the way we think about each other. Right now they have us at each other's throats, right where they want us.
Well, they sure do. There's no question.
And we have to stop it. And there's ways to stop it, and that's what I do. And I teach people how to stop it.
Well, do you have to realize that they're doing this to us? as opposed to people saying, it's just the human race, it's all screwed up?
Everybody has a story. Everybody I've talked to has some kind of story of being in a home, apartment, condo, or a party, a bar, a pub, any place where they've seen or felt something strange. They're picking up on negative emotional energy, something that living humans generate. We all generate on a non-physical level emotional energy, and so do spirits. And they generate huge amounts of emotional energy. And that can influence us by essentially getting into our energy fields, our emotional systems, and amplifying our feelings. So it takes us from being sort of angry into complete road rage, where we do things that we would not normally do. How many times have people said that? I would not normally do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're angry, that's when they attack. Important people making decisions around our world, they work on them.
Are they
out? They don't know that they're there. They may not believe in them, but they are there. You know, most people believe in some kind of life after death, something that happens. Not everybody, but most people do. So what happens? Well, we simply drop our physical bodies and become non-physical entities or spirits. Most people are good, some are not. Most spirits are good, some are not. And so the ones that are not have a tendency to want to continue to hang around our world and get us to do things we would not normally do. Demonic spirits are just experts at it. They have weapons, they have devices that they make out of non-physical energies, just like spirits do. Spirits change their forms. Like our parents die at an old age or something, they can immediately change and look younger by generating and thinking about generating a form of what they wanted to look like, and also generating clothes, because most people do not see naked spirits. So all these things are generated on a non-physical level. Emotional energy is generated on a non-physical level as well. So demonic spirits come close to us or even from a distance and focus in on us and generate hatred and rage. We think it's our own, but it's not always completely our own.
Are they under the direction of the devil, Jeffrey?
I'm not sure if there's one particular spirit in charge of all negative spirits. Demonic spirits are kind of like criminals. They really don't even get along with each other. They don't trust each other. They most often work alone, but that's not always the rule. They do work in groups. I have found that to be true in all the decades I've been doing this. But they really do their best when they work alone, and they take their time working on individuals and families, getting them to fight, getting people to fight with each other, getting countries to fight with each other, getting people to amplify what would normally be a small amount of anger into complete rage. And they're very, very good at it, because the amount of anger that comes out of them is incredible, and we just don't see it coming. I know that when I've been attacked personally, it happens so quickly. One moment I see them, the next moment, you know, some kind of very negative beam of light will come out, or an attack. I pull out my non-physical sword, they pull out their weapons, and there is a fight going on. But everybody's not so fortunate that they can see them and know that they're coming. And so they're around us and we don't know it. They're around us at work and at home. Also negative spirits, you know, and negative spirits can work for them essentially and sort of model themselves after that. And like I said, most people are good and some are not. And the ones that are not are also quite capable of doing the very same thing, generating hatred and anger. And of course, millions of people die all the time, and lots of them are not good. They were not good when they were living, and they continue to do negative things, and they attack people on a daily basis. So essentially, the entire human race right now is under attack by negative spirits and, unfortunately, demonic spirits, which are very, very powerful spirits. And like I said earlier, may not have ever lived in the physical realm. or for a very, very long time. And they practice, and they're good at what they do. They know how to generate hatred and rage, and they know how to get it through our natural protection systems, also known as the aura, and to get us to react to their angry and hateful feelings. And they have no problem. They would essentially kill a child in their cradle. They have no problem with that. I know that's a scary thought.
It is. It's horrible.
True. They just hate humans. And so they attack everybody. They attack people least able to defend themselves. And in our world right now, we're having a lot of changes going on and a lot of problems, a lot of anger happening right now. And we have to realize that we need to protect ourselves from this. We need to stop being so angry with each other because we're being used. And it's not just, you know, I heard some talk, you know, in the commercials about global elitists and all of that, and I think all that's true. But also we're being attacked by non-physical entities that wish to see the human race fail. And there's a possibility that that could happen. It's a very serious issue. We have the ability to be able to protect ourselves. It's actually something that just about anybody can do, but we're not taught to do it in schools. We're not taught to do it in churches. We're not taught to do it anywhere.
Well, how many people do you think, Jeffrey, believe? How many people believe that demons exist if you went out and polled people?
I think would be 15-20% would be my guess, George. But the important thing to remember is that they're there and they certainly believe that we exist. And so the old game is that they don't want us to know that they're there. They want us to think that this is our own feelings, our own thoughts. And some of it is. All of the violence out there is not caused by demonic spirits and negative spirits. But certainly they're there to amplify. And right now, everybody's got a target on their back. Everybody.
How do they possess? How do they take over somebody's body?
They work on them on people for a while. Usually these things happen over a period of time. People who are depressed, people who move into a home, and there's a lot of negative emotional mm-hmm. energy.
Drugs.
I practice something called modern exorcism, and that came out of the idea when I started going into people's homes. I found out many years ago that homes, because people have lived in there, they generate both positive and negative emotional energies, which are unseen, but we feel them, and it accumulates in the environment. And demonic spirits actually feel stronger and become stronger in these kinds of environments, and so do negative spirits. And so they attack people in homes. We don't take care of our homes. We clean them. We wash the windows when we move into a new place, the carpets, paint, everything, but we don't clean the atmospheres. And so essentially we're living in other people's emotional energies. And so demonic spirits just play on that. And they come into our environments and generate huge amounts of energy that is negative. And the air thickens with emotional energy, especially negative energy. It thickens. And so it's easier to transmit negative emotional energy, hatred, those kinds of negative thoughts and emotional feelings when the air is thick with emotional energy. And so I get calls all the time from people who, you know, say, hey, I just moved into this new home, apartment, whatever, and it doesn't feel right. I don't know why, but, you know, the kids are crying, the dogs are barking in a certain area. Or we're just getting into more arguments. Why is this happening? And so modern exorcism deals with the idea that first, the negative emotional energy has to be removed by somebody like me from the atmosphere of the home. That makes the spirit weaker. Then I deal with the negative spirit. That's the second thing that I do. That's modern exorcism, different from traditional exorcism in that I don't always go after the spirit first. Sometimes I clear the atmosphere to make them weaker, and then I attack the negative spirits.
And you're not a priest.
No mercy.
You're not a priest. Does that affect what you do?
I would not say that I'm not a priest. I would say that I'm an independent priest. You could say shaman, priest, exorcists. I don't belong to any particular religion because right. I work with people from all different religions or no religions at all. People call me who are agnostic, atheists. Everybody calls me. And that's the thing, you know, you don't have to belong to a particular church to call me and have your home cleared. And these days I do it by distance as well, because when I was going through homes and doing strictly in-person work before the internet ever came about, I wasn't touching anything anyways, doing personal clearings. I wasn't touching anybody anyways, really. It's not necessary. There's no such thing as distance on a non-physical level. It doesn't matter. As long as you have focus, each one of us is a complete individual. And so anybody can be cleared from anywhere if you know how to do it. And it has to be done. You know, we move into apartments, like I said, and there's lots of emotional energy from maybe people living there for 20 years, 40 years, 100 years, depending on where people are from around the world. It builds up. It accumulates. And spirits need to be dealt with. You know, sometimes they're already in the home. Sometimes they come into the home. They sense a family that's having a problem because of emotional energy in our living environment, and they're ripe for attack. And so it's best to call maybe a professional to have it cleared out once, and then I teach people how to maintain the clarity of their bodies, their energy fields, and also how to maintain the clarity of their living environment. So it's kind of like having a carpet cleaner come in first, and then you can simply clean your own carpet once that's done. So it really is something we all can do to a certain extent, and something I think we all should do. I'm not going to be around forever, and certainly there are great exorcists in every religion. I'm not the only one. There are qualified exorcists in just about every religion, but they don't work for people in other religions. I get that all the time, you know, that people call up and say, well, I called, you know, a local parish, even though I'm not, you know, I don't belong to that religion, I'm not Catholic, and they won't come over and help me. I help everybody. So that's why I don't belong to any religion. But I remember doing this kind of work in past lives. I have deep contacts with higher spirits. Also, this universe is filled with stars, and around those stars are planets, and there are this universe, as I said before on one of my appearances, this universe is teeming with life. You asked me that question.
Yeah. Now, do you go into these exorcists with a crucifix at all?
No.
You don't do that?
No, but when I'm working with Christians, which call me all the time, even evangelical Christians have, you know, they need help too. Everybody needs help.
Hold on, yes. Jeffrey. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We'll talk more. Jeffrey's website, starclear.com. His book is called Power Protection. We'll come back and take your calls as well. Perhaps you've had a demon exposed situation. Share that with us too.